What is up, world? John Shute here with another Anchor podcast. I'm hopping back on the podcast, grind hard, coming at you guys strong this month, this summer. Every day podcast, just kidding. I have the pleasure of being here with Richard Guerrera. Is that pronounced correctly?
It's been said that way. I like to say Guerra.
Richard Guerra of Sensi Magazine. It is smoother off the tongue, Richard Guerrera.
It's an extra syllable.
Probably something I should have asked you before. I was just explaining to Richard that my podcast might be a little bit more ghetto than other podcasts he's been on in the past. I use my phone, don't really have a recorder, but it's a real authentic experience. We're in my living room. Contemplate smoking a bowl.
Ghetto's never scared me much.
Richard, let's talk about, you know, I've been kind of looking forward to having you on my podcast. I've known you for probably like 2 years now in the cannabis industry. Now, you know, Puff Creative, we're filming the Sensi events. It's awesome. You know, we have a bunch of similar partners and clients. But I always like to know about the individuals, you know, and, you know, tell us a little bit about where you're from, you know, when you first started, maybe the first time you smoked weed, and then we'll take it from there.
Cool. Yeah. Richard William Guerra is kind of my moniker, I suppose, that I go by these days. Also been known as Ranch in the past.
I recently found that social media handle.
It's a festival thing, you know. But I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Austin, Texas as well. Those are definitely the places I first consumed cannabis.
Which is interesting because Texas is very strict in cannabis
laws. Yeah, it was definitely pretty sketch and a little nerve-wracking. You know, looking back, it's like definitely just had an automatic paranoia to the way I reacted to cannabis really the whole time I was in high school and young and in Texas.
Yeah, same.
I have a couple memories of using it. You know, I was into like, you know, metal music, punk music, emo, that kind of thing. And I go to a bunch of, I've always...
Spiky wristbands.
Straightened hair and stuff. And I'd always go to a ton of shows. I've always just been a live music junkie. And, you know, at a young age, there was a lot of people in those scenes that were alcoholics, like abusing alcohol, and definitely was abusing, you know, alcohol at a young age. Just nobody ever taught me how to use it. It was just always something, you know,
similar
not
to
legal that I was doing. So it was like
similar to cannabis. Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, we didn't really. I mean, being from New Jersey, like similar, you know, paranoia, similar experience where, yeah, I was never really taught, you know, properly.
No, and I mean. Yeah, so I remember being at a show in Fort Worth, Texas, and you know, we went in the back of the show in the car with my buddies, and I remember smoking a bowl and going back in the show and just remembering, you know, the mosh pit and like all the whole craziness of the
it's like, would you say it enhanced the experience?
Oh, yeah,
it hit you right away. You're just
it was wild, you know. I mean, music has definitely been. For a while there became this like thing where like I almost couldn't see music or almost couldn't listen to it without cannabis, which is, you know, I think a lot of people have had that feeling. Is that exactly a responsible use? You know, not necessarily, you know, you're not always ready for it or needing it every time music's around, especially if you're somebody who does music all the time, like I used to be. Austin, Texas. I remember being, every time I hear Oasis come on, I remember being at Austin City Limits in 2005, which was my first music festival.
Yeah.
And Oasis was on and Wonderwall and all that. And I was smoking a bowl with like strangers, you know, me and my buddy just running around. So every time I hear that song, I just remember like, you know, that moment, which was like almost brought tears to my eyes. It was like that. I think that was the first moment where it was like, wow, there's like tens of thousands of people surrounding me. Everybody's singing the song at the same time, like communing, many of which were high or whatever. And just the smell of cannabis and the look of that show was just like magical, I suppose. So that would be kind of like, you know, my roots with it. Yeah, and that's a couple thoughts I have. I mean, I also went to, I then moved to Boston when I was 18 for college and went to Boston University. I was always New York and, like, you know, Northeast kind of obsessed growing up through the media, movie, TV, all that. And I ended up in Boston, and, you know, that school was always listed, maybe it still is, as one of the biggest pot-smoking schools in the country. And it was definitely the case, and it was kind of right when I got there. I mean, commencement, you know, the first semester I was ever in. I mean, it was a cool experience, but it was also kind of like, you know, obviously didn't lend well to my responsibility as a student, but, you know, I was surrounded by people from all over the world that were cannabis users, South Americans, you know, people from Manhattan, people from California. Like, it was a weird experience to, like, use different types of rolling papers or different types of blunts or smoke different types of weed or do it in a different way or listen to different types of music. It was like every day was a different type of cannabis experience in college. It wasn't all the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
And that definitely became intriguing.
So, and, like, yeah, falling more and more in love with it.
Yeah. I was in love with it that whole time. The kind of like the paranoia and the belief, you know, from whether it was family or the school itself or, you know, society, myself. I mean, it all just started to build and build as I became more of a frequent cannabis user. I felt more like a criminal, I suppose, or like more like I was doing some really immoral thing.
Yeah.
And that wasn't,
it's confusing.
That wasn't awesome. Yeah, it was confusing.
Super confusing. Yeah. So interesting, pretty similar to my background. And it's always intriguing.
Yeah, tell me about yourself. I don't think we've had
this conversation. No, they've heard too much about me. Yeah, yeah. We can have that different time. And I wish, you know, I wish I could, like, ask the audience, like, what do you guys, what should we do? What should we talk about? But, no, I want to keep diving into you. I can be on your podcast one day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we know you're currently working for Scentsy Magazine, but tell me a little bit more about leading up to that and how that kind of happened.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we'll skip some stuff there, but, you know, I went to school for journalism. I was always a big newspaper, kind of television, radio, NPR buff, like, as well as live music and, you know, music videos and all that. Digital music became a big obsession.
Yeah, music too. It seems to be a common theme.
Yeah, and so music, art, you know, community, all that. So it's like, it kind of started to mold them all together. In college, I started a company called LostInSound.org. We have, over the past 10 years, been kind of supporting festival culture, arts and music, definitely electronic music and all of that. So I did spend quite a bit of time, like, you know, working whatever I could to make money to pay my bills in hospitality. But then my projects were always involving festival and live music media. So I've done videography, photography. I've been an editor.
What's your favorite music festival?
Oh, man.
Top three.
Oregon Eclipse Festival, which is like bringing together a bunch of international festivals for one big eclipse event. I went to that. For the last eclipse, I'm going to go do that again in Patagonia next year. And that was unmatched, I think, as far as like just crazy stimulus and like art and like, you know, and all that. Brain Man's also up there for me. I started out going to festivals with like jam bands and stuff. So Rothbury was a big festival for me in 2009.
Now Electric Forest, right?
Yeah, now Electric Forest. But, you know, I was on Dead Tour and, you know, things like that. I started going to Camp Bisco in New York and all that when I was younger. But, you know, so that led me to...
That was my first festival.
Yeah, exactly. We talked Camp about Bisco. It. Yeah. So, you know, not to harp too much on that, but it eventually led me to realizing that, like, I didn't want to work as a server and a bartender, and I didn't want to keep doing things like that, hospitality anymore. I really have always had an entrepreneurial spirit, and I always felt so strongly about putting all my skills and my work into supporting things that I believe in.
Yeah.
And so I did for a while there try to be, I was a booking agent, done artist management. I did have a whole publicity company that did digital marketing strategies for producers, DJs, bands, festivals. And, you know, it felt good. It was definitely what I was looking for as far as like being my own boss and like doing something that I'm passionate about, it just, I didn't really know how to run a business, and I like never really felt like those people that I was using as clients ever had all that much money to spend. So it was just kind of, I kind of found myself realizing I needed to shift, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Switch gears. So around that same time, I like really just kind of opened myself up and like was living here in Colorado, which I just kind of got called out here. I moved from Boston to Austin, got reminded of how weak the cannabis is in Texas.
And yeah.
There just wasn't any medicine around for me. And I moved here in two parts. One, because it just felt like there's a new industry, new business that no one's ever really communicated to me about.
Yeah.
And it involves something that I care about, which is legalization. And at the same time, I showed up here with quite a bit of anxiety and kind of, you know, some PTSD from just what I put myself through over the years, you know, and just being so go, go, go. And like, you know, just always looking for, you know, experiences and festivals and all that. Yeah. It can kind of wear you out for emotionally. Sure. And like you can make I had some hiccups along the way that I never really addressed, like so many of us in this world. And
yeah,
so coming here was like, I think cannabis might be it. I had been on Paxil, which just really didn't work out well. Like I had tried other things. And so I showed up here with no knowledge and of what indica or sativa or CBD was, and just quickly learned and started to teach
myself. The first three lessons.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Started to teach myself about it. And went to dispensaries and then went to Scentsy Night like a couple months after I moved here almost 3 years ago. And man, I always tell people, it's just crazy. It blew my mind at City Hall, Scentsy Night, just surrounded by brands, tons of swag, lots of free stuff. And I had never even seen a brand or swag or free stuff in cannabis. It was always, you know, illegal. So that moment was like a turning point for me. And I was able to link up with Tate Arnell, who turned out to be just like a kindred spirit, you know, coming from, he's got a big background in live music, and Tate's the president of Scentsy and one of the founders. And, you know, so he was just really warm. And so was Ron and Liana and Tyler and everybody that was involved at the time. And I just started feeling drawn to them at Scentsy parties, and we became friends. And this was around the time that I was like, I got to get rid of this marketing company and I got to move on from live music. And I called Ron up he hit me with the publisher opportunity, and I was one of the first associate publishers. So one of the first, you know, folks that got involved with the company on a national level. Prior to us moving into Massachusetts and California and Nevada and other markets, I was one of the first people to start helping us build out here in Colorado.
That's cool, man. Yeah, it's interesting. So now, I mean, that being said, I mean, you just have now, think about how much you've learned, you know, over those years about cannabis, the industry, the brands, what it means to be a brand, what it takes. You know, and it's kind of circling back around to earlier when we were talking about not being educated, you know, in proper usage of cannabis at an early age. And just, you know, being where you're from, even at any age, being in a state where it's not viewed as, you know, a positive thing like it is here. I'm actually writing a blog this week. I was telling you about proper cannabinoid usage. And, you know, basically the premise of the blog is actually that I'm just super thankful that I am so educated in cannabinoid usage, and I have such access to all these different forms to consume cannabinoids, whether it's flower, gummies, tablets, chocolates, soda, beer, you know,
vapes.
So I would say I kind of wanted to spark this conversation. So my favorite cannabinoid mix that I found that works best for me kind of throughout my day, you know, the classic, it's crazy. I mean, this isn't everyone, but the classic wake and bake still kind of has a deep spot in my heart. I always kick off the day kind of with a hit out of this bowl right here as next to us. And typically I just moved into a new house that we're sitting in, but typically I'm pretty active and like constantly working out. So I usually wake up and I'm pretty sore. So my favorite combination to kind of subside any anxiety from the smoking and to kind of relieve my soreness and just get me going is the 20-1 ratio. So 20 milligrams CBD, yeah. That one kick of THC. And, you know, it's interesting.
Amazing, yeah.
How the hemp industry is becoming so popular. And, you know, CBD is such an amazing cannabinoid. It's revolutionary. But yeah, there's still so much people don't know. One thing I've learned is that for some more serious kind of pains or more serious anxiety or serious sleep issues, I really do need that kicker of THC. And what I've learned is that, you know, having more of that full spectrum cannabinoid profile or consumption really helps all the other cannabinoids react, or, you know, you're using them to their full potential. Pure example is Pot Zero. You're wearing their beanie, Klein the Puff Creative. You know, they have, you know, they test higher CBG and full spectrum cannabinoids than anyone in the world, not let alone being the most sustainable farm. But yeah, is there any
multifaceted medicine right there?
Yeah. And so is there any kind of particular cannabinoid lessons you've learned or about consumption or like anything that kind of hits you in the, yeah, in the heart?
You know, I mean, growing up, it was like all kinds of crazy stuff, like White Widow and white, you know, and, you know, lots of just serious sativa is what was getting shipped to Texas.
Yeah.
And shipped,
let alone where was that grown? Is there pesticides on it? Is it actually what they're saying?
I mean, it's pretty much at the time growing up, it was pretty much all coming from Cali. And yeah, no one had questions like that.
Yeah.
But it would often, yeah, I mean, it would elicit some sort of like, I'd get really high, like stoned. Like, I feel like the only way you could use cannabis is turning into Redman and How High, or like,
yeah,
Cheech and Chong and stuff like that. And I felt like those guys a lot of times. And, you know, so for me personally, really going ham on THC, which is what a sativa generally has a lot of,
yeah,
can send me into that more like I'm super stoned kind of place.
Yeah, like, and paranoia and like, yeah, same.
Yeah.
I'm a big indica hybrid guy.
Yeah, totally. Me too. And I mean, why that is like, communication is like the root of my personality and like my success almost, and like how I commune and I human with other people is having the ability to communicate clearly. And my communication really starts to go down if I'm spreading on THC really heavy.
Yeah.
So an indica I learned while I was out here in this, you know, wonderful land of Colorado, that, you know, it is it brings in more CBD than a sativa does. An indica has both, you know, generally a THC and more of a CBD profile. So it works better for me. And
yeah,
and then totally, I took it even further than that over the years, and I'm realizing like generally why I've always wanted to get high, why I took that blunt and I took a bong rip or whatever it was, I wanted to physically feel relaxed. Physically. Yeah. I never really cared too much about getting mentally intoxicated or high. It was really about physical. So, you know, I've taken that even further where it's like, yeah, just bringing the indica down to the kind of a weaker place, and now it's CBD really. So
yeah.
CBD ultimately, CBD, CBG, CBN, I mean, these cannabinoids.
All the ones that Pot Zero has.
Those ones
are in their products.
Those are the ones that are non-psychoactive that are about your physical experience. And so when you're asking what I use, I generally go with, I would put some indica with my heavy CBD. And I do a lot of CBD, like isolate dabbing usually.
Nice.
Because I just want to,
Yeah, I had this, we did a shoot over here the other day and everyone was dabbing those Pot Zero concentrates. I was just showing you, and people were saying that they've never had such a head and body high in one, because you're getting that, you know, 70% THC ratio in their live resin paired with 10 CBG, 5 CBN, THC, you know, it's like all over the place. So would you say, just to kind of conclude this whole thing, would you say that learning about proper cannabinoid use has just changed your life?
Oh, without a doubt.
Right?
I mean, it continues to happen. I mean, and it's substances across the board, really, for me. I mean, cannabinoids, alcohol, psilocybin, MDMA, I mean, anything out there that people that ultimately all those things that have kind of been demonized and stigmatized, and that there is a lack of information and a large amount of ignorance for. Over the years, I have not shied away from, experimenting. And now I haven't shied away from I also haven't shied away from abstaining. You know, I've been sober many times over the years from cannabis and alcohol and other things. And I think it's an important tool to cut yourself off and to clean things out and to let yourself reset. And then you take what you maybe have learned recently and you can apply it. And now you can start different habits and you can start having a different tolerance level. So I like to keep my tolerance super low, like edibles, I don't really mess with them, but
five milligrams, I'm done.
Yeah, I stick with five or less. You know, they have like
two point five.
Yeah, nice. So microdosing is, I think microdosing is, I'm learning, it's almost like a philosophy for me. Like, it's a key to cannabis, it's a key to psilocybin, it's a key to alcohol. Like, I drink maybe a few sips or like a half a drink. And that's what I consider microdosing alcohol, which I think people don't, they're like, what's that? What do you mean?
Is that even something
you can do? It's like, hell yeah. You
can go to a bar, take one shot, and that's it.
You can totally just build yourself up. So I would say, that's maybe what I've learned most about cannabinoids and this medicine is just working my way up to that that goal. You know?
Yeah.
Because we all have a goal. I say this a lot. We all have a goal in mind with our cannabis use. Like, is it to go to sleep or is it to relax or is it to have fun or whatever? There is this place where it would be kind of like the perfect spot to get to.
Yeah.
And we want to work up to that. But many of us oftentimes, especially folks that are kind of like not educated or a lot of the Americans that are living in a place where they don't have options either, like microdosing or whatever, they're going from 0 to 70 or 0 to 80 when really 60 is where they need to end up. And that's kind of what we're looking to. I think that if we can all start to communicate amongst ourselves more about that idea, we'll find less of an opposition against this medicine, less of roadblocks, more pro-legalization.
That's all I want. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But maybe we just have to make it make sense to more people, and that's the whole point. And people listen to this podcast.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got to, what is breaking down the stigma? It's normalizing the use and the medicine and the ideas behind it.
Yeah.
And normalizing is going to happen with education, as well as like ultimately being able to communicate about this medicine, the options, how it works to people who normally are like left out.
Yeah.
And that is what Sensi Magazine has always done. And what we're going to continue to do is like make this education, this information about cannabinoids and CBD and, the industry, the business, all that available to more people who maybe never really felt like included or felt like this world was something they could be a part of.
Yeah.
And, so we're just operating outside of the subculture of getting high and using it for recreational purposes maybe and allowing this information to be disseminated for people could use it, which I really couldn't think of somebody other than the people that apparently have chemical makeup that makes them sick, because that does exist. And apparently I think that it's important to people like to throw out that like no one's ever gotten hurt from it, and it's like, it's just not, there are some cases. We need to be honest about the realities of this thing. And so other than those people, though, that their bodies literally kind of react in a negative way that's dangerous, we're finding that the endocannabinoid system is in place in human beings' bodies. And it's like this elegant thing that it's like the brain, It's like the brain was barely even looked into until a couple decades
ago. Now so much research on the endocannabinoid system has brought us so far in science, and it's just crazy to me that we still struggle to get medicine for people who actually really need it to live a normal life in certain states.
We know why all medicine and all plant medicine and all rational elements of our society that are not in place are not in place.
Oh, totally.
We know why. There are just forces that are worried about their bottom line. you know? And so totally. It's a weird situation where, like, you know, and it is, we can't have a lot of hope though, in the sense that.
Oh, we've come so far. I never thought I'd be doing this.
I mean, and the forces that have always been pushing against legalization of cannabis are the ones that are going to capitalize the most off
they
of
already
business.
Are. They already are.
So we can guarantee it's going to happen. There is no wondering if legalization is going to happen.
It's just a matter of how it's done, though.
They're fixing it so that they can feel comfortable with letting us do it. And the question is, how do we, the people, like we, the you know, the non big business pro cannabis Americans, how do we operate in that new world that is going to be dominated by them, but it doesn't have, we don't have to, you know, if anything, I'm hopeful that it maybe starts to you know, turn the tide of what capitalism is like in this country in regards to food and beverage and tobacco and all that. Maybe we can start to have the individuals that used to be on, you know, living high above us and, like, you know, interested in just kind of sucking from us, like maybe they'll change their mind and start to work with us.
It's definitely going to shake things up, and there's one thing is cannabis is definitely inevitable at this point, so yeah,
no stopping it.
But yeah, man, thanks so much for being on the podcast, dude. We should do it again sometime. The people are gonna love you.
There's so much to talk about.
There's too much to talk about, man.
It'll never end. They couldn't get me to shut up, so it still to this day persists.
This is Richard part one. Well, thanks again, and thank you all for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great rest of their week, and
thanks, guys.
Peace.
Use your head.